How great is that to describe kind of the market environment we're in? We're walking on a thin line because it is really hard day to day to know how the environment and the trade is going to play out. Because in fact, today we had the U.S. stock rally here in the United States reversing course. So let's get into today's market trade and the three things that our next guest sees as weighing heavily on the market. Kevin Miller is CEO and portfolio manager at Evaluator Funds, $625 million in assets under management, based in Minneapolis in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. How cold is it in Minneapolis right now?
It's colder than it is here. It's probably 10 above, I'm guessing, but we adjust to it. That's why we have coats.
I know. So. You guys figure it out. Have you adjusted to the market environment right now?
I don't know if you can. You know, it's the volatility. I guess what you have to do is you have to look at, you know, two elements of the market. One is fundamentals and the other is technicals. And from a fundamental perspective, you look at unemployment, you look at GDP, you look at inflation, and all them things seem to be relatively in line. You look at technicals, and from a technical perspective, if you look at the S&P, we've kind of touched the same lower level that we touched in October, and similar to what we touched in March. So I'm kind of optimistic always, and I like to think that we're trying to form a bottom here, and we get some of these headline items off the headlines, and we can see some recovery.
Well, and we're sitting here, Kevin, in our studio in New York City. We've got all these TV screens going, and we're seeing some headlines about, you know, Prime Minister Theresa May from the UK heading over to Brussels for the next leg of these negotiations. Brexit, one of the things that you are clearly looking at with, you know, minute to minute, tick to tick, certainly day to day. How do you make sense of that from an investor's point of view? Because what we're seeing is currencies, stocks really moving on where we think momentum is here.
Yeah. And what you have to do is, you know, how many times have we had a revamping of a trade agreement like we're seeing with China? Or how many times has there been a Brexit in our lifetime? So it's kind of hard to look back on past history and say, well, this is what transpired back then, this is what we can expect going forward. So we don't have that. So what you have to do
is... But we've had financial crises, we've had the Greek crisis, we've had concerns about European... You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've had crises, but I mean, this is the potential, if Britain leaves and then if Italy leaves, that could bring the whole European community, you know, could pull it apart. But back to your question with regard to how do we handle that, here's what we don't do, is we don't index that market, okay? So we don't approach the European economy, the European market on a passive basis.
Right.
Because there's still good companies over there. There's still good individual companies. I mean, people who enjoy a Nestle chocolate bar aren't going to quit buying Nestle chocolate because the European community is up in an uproar. So, I mean, you have to look at the fundamentals again in that regard and be more active with your management.
So how active have you guys been in terms of picking up new opportunities, especially as some names have been beaten up?
Yeah, we've become more active since February of this year. You know, when you go back to November of 16 to January of mm-hmm. 18, we had the market up 15 months in a row. And then we saw that pullback because, oh no, the 10-year started getting over 3%. And, you know, so then since then we've had a recovery into September, and now we're going through the turmoil we're going through at this point in time. But we will always have some of our assets invested passively, and we'll have some of them invested actively, and we've transitioned that allocation more into active management at this point in time. And we expect
so that you can pick and choose?
Yeah, and we expect to stay there probably until 2021. We're expecting a year from now the S&P to get itself back up to over 3,100. So that's, you know, that's a sizable gain from where we're at today.
Yeah.
But we get this trade agreement resolved. I think we'll recover the losses we've seen since September and be on our way in the right direction.
So let's talk about a couple of names that you like. Carol and I love digging into, you know, some specific picks. And one that jumps out at me, because we've been talking about it a lot lately, Microsoft. You know, we've seen them. What a resurgent company this is at this point, because probably if we were talking about Microsoft 2, 3, certainly 5 years ago, be like, okay, Microsoft, yeah, they're doing great, whatever.
Yeah.
But really a resurgence there.
Yeah, it's a dinosaur that's been reborn, you know, in one way. The reason we like it is because they're transforming their office software into 365, and we expect sometime next year they'll have about 70% of that transition accomplished. And then also their web-based services, we feel that that's going to become very competitive with Amazon. I believe it's their Azure service. Mm-hmm. And so Amazon is a good stock. It's very expensive. I mean, for most individual investors to be able to afford $1,500 or $1,600, you know, to buy one share, you could buy several shares of Microsoft, still get into that technology component.
Their cloud business is now a more than $32 billion revenue generating on an annual basis business. They've grown that pretty quickly.
And with Amazon, my concern there, and not that I know we're talking about Microsoft, but just from comparable perspective, is that they're getting into so many things. You know, they could be a jack of all trades and a master of none if they don't keep their eye on the ball. So that's kind of where we're trying to pull that apart.
And Microsoft, it seems, has gotten focused on the cloud.
That's right.
To your point, I mean, certainly Satya Nadella has made that his mission.
I would just say, though, people have lost a lot of money betting against Amazon. I mean, the stock is up 41% this year. And I hear what you're saying, and I've heard this argument a lot, but I'm just saying, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, you know, people keep saying too many things, they're spending money, but, you know, this company has performed.
So for my individual investors who want to get into something like an Amazon or hitchhike off that performance, we suggest like a Visa, because, you know, you don't pay cash for things you buy on Amazon.
Interesting. It's like buying picks and shovels on the gold rush, right?
Well, that's
like,
right,
exactly. You don't care who where they're buying, but they've got it. These are the guys that are processing the payments.
They're riding along. They're riding the wave with them.
Yeah. You also like UPS, which I think is interesting as well.
Well, you know, you think about it. Online ordering is not going away. Everyone's pushing their online sales services. You have lower fuel costs, and you have strong consumer sentiment. Well, those three things added together, if they can operate efficiently, this should be a very strong stock for us in the near future.
Morgan Stanley came out recently, and they said they see graver risks for UPS, FedEx because of Amazon Air. We talked about that when this came out. Do they need to be worried about Amazon? And, you know, they're kind of saying, we'll do it on our own.
Well, I think...
And they increasingly are, or doing more with the U.S. Postal Service.
UPS has such a big moat because they are the worldwide leader. They have a very developed network.
Right.
And so to penetrate that network, I'm not saying someone can't ever be taken over. I mean, look at Sears Roebuck, right? So it can happen, but I'm just saying in the perspective that most people would be investing and holding this stock, I don't think it's an issue at this point in time.
Only about 30 seconds left. Does the U.S. get a trade deal done with China by the March 1st deadline?
I would say 70% probability, yes.
Wow.
That's all you can do now, right? Is you can only invest in based on probabilities because it's somewhat speculation.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so you look at, okay, if it doesn't happen, how do you align your portfolio? If it does happen, how do you align? And we're at this time saying something positive will come down through the decision-making process within the 90 days that will propel the market in the right direction.
Kevin Miller, thank you so much. Nice to see you. Have a great holiday.
Thank you very much.
He is Chief Executive Officer, Portfolio Manager at Evaluator Fund, $625 million under asset, based in Minneapolis in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio on this Tuesday. This is Bloomberg.